I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We're the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today. Listen to Rappaport's Reality starting May 8th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
KFI AM 640, you're listening to the John Cobell Podcast on the iHeartRadio app. This next story is difficult. We've had a personal involvement with this story going back 30 years. And it was the murder of Polly Kloss, who was 12 years old. As I explained in the last segment, Richard Allen Davis broke into her bedroom. She was having a slumber party with her friends. And he tied up all the girls and put pillowcases over their heads. And then Davis kidnapped Polly, raped her, killed her, dumped her body on the side of the freeway, hidden under plywood. And it was 2 months before authorities found it. Richard Allen Davis had already spent a lot of time in prison, but was let out. And so this led to the Three Strikes movement. And we were heavily involved in this story and getting it passed by the legislature, which was run by another version of these idiot progressive Democrats that has ruined so many lives in our state. But again, the public votes these people in. Three Strikes was passed. It also passed as a referendum. And ever since then, Mark Kloss has been fighting for victims' rights with various organizations. And now Richard Allen Davis, that human evil that killed Polly, is getting a resentencing hearing tomorrow. I'm shocked. But there's a state senator named Ben Allen from Santa Monica, of course, who wrote a bill that removed sentencing enhancements retroactively. So let's talk to Mark Kloss here and see what this is about, because this caught me by surprise. Mark, how are you?
Well, John, I was caught by as much surprise as you were, believe me.
I cannot believe 30 years later we are still dealing with this. I mean, he should have been executed 30 years ago, and now we're facing God knows what with this resentencing. I'm really, really sorry you have to go through this. I mean, I can't imagine the pain that you and your family has gone through repeatedly over the years to deal with this.
Well, thank you. You're absolutely correct. This is absolutely horrendous for me and everybody in my family because it throws it in our face yet again. And just for a little context, John, this guy has had every consideration from the moment that he was arrested. He had a trial with a high profile, extremely well paid death penalty defense attorney. He was found guilty. He has lost numerous appeals, including to the California Supreme Court. He had basically exhausted his opportunities, yet here we are. Yet again, they're giving him a resentencing hearing. They're throwing it back up into my face again 30 years later. Now, the kicker of this, John, is that I made a FOIA request, a Freedom of Information Act request, with the CDCR, the California Department of Corrections and Rehabilitation, and say, well, if this guy qualifies, how many other individuals qualify for this hearing? And I got a list back of almost 10,000 names.
What? 10,000?
I got a list back of almost 10,000 names. And that means that what's happening to me is really the tip of the iceberg. There are 10,000 more families that are going to have to put up with and deal with what we're dealing with tomorrow morning. And that means, in my estimation, that the DAs in California are going to have to prepare for more than 10,000 hearings, or for about 10,000 hearings from individuals that are, again, getting the very same consideration that Richard Allen Davis got. Now, remember, I've gotten no consideration at all throughout this process. This is all about people like him. This is all about the criminal community. They're the ones that are being lobbied on behalf of. And if it were not for Marcy's Law, I wouldn't have even probably gotten notification that this was happening.
When was this bill signed, this Ben Allen bill that called for retroactive resentencing?
I'm not sure when it was signed, but I do believe that it became law within the last year.
So something that Gavin Newsom likely signed then.
Oh, he signed it.
Yeah, Gavin Newsom signed it.
I don't know that anybody that voted on behalf of this bill ever expected that Richard Allen Davis, among the most hated individuals in California, would be the beneficiary of this law. But here we are.
I don't think people can comprehend how terrifying it was after your daughter was killed, and it was a while before they figured out who did it, right? I mean, he wasn't...
Two months. 2 months. 2 months of absolute hell, because I believe we were talking during that time.
Yeah, we were.
Even. Yeah, it was two months of absolute hell. I lost 30 pounds during that 2 months. I didn't eat. I didn't sleep. It was absolutely horrible. I wanted to die for years after we found out what happened to Polly. And quite frankly, one of the few things that ultimately relieved my mind was when the judge handed down the sentence of death. I thought, finally, there's some justice for Polly. Well, obviously, John, I spoke too soon. Because not only is this going down, I mean, remember, back in 2019, Newsom declared a death penalty moratorium.
Yes.
So these people, these monsters, these baby killers, these cop killers, these horrible people have an incredibly powerful advocate right there in Sacramento.
Yeah, supported by most of the legislature, too. They didn't even blink about passing this retroactive resentencing bill. What could be the worst case scenario with Richard Allen Davis during the hearing tomorrow?
I believe the worst case scenario, were a ruling to come down tomorrow, would either be to move it to another hearing, an evidentiary hearing, which this is not, or he could be switched from a condemned inmate to an inmate living life without the possibility of parole. But we have to remember, they've already declared the death penalty moratorium. They've torn down the death penalty mechanism in San Quentin. They're closing down death row in San Quentin. Richard Allen Davis, in fact, no longer lives on death row. He's been transferred to a facility in Stockton, California. And now this comes down the road. So basically, everything that happened at trial, the sentence that was handed down, the recommendation of the jury, the 4 or 5 months that we spent going through this whole process to get this done, has all been rendered naught.
What really frightens me is, while he supposedly is getting life without parole, they're starting to give parole anyway to people. It's called elderly parole. If you're a prisoner over the age of 60, in some cases, you're getting let out, even if you're not supposed to be let out. Could something like that spring him before he dies?
It wouldn't be the first time, would it?
No,
it absolutely would not be the first time that happened in California. people on death row have gotten back into society, sometimes only to kill again and go back on death row and ultimately get executed. Remember, Charles Manson was on death row. He didn't even get out, but he still had powerful influence over the state because of Charles Manson, a death row inmate who was given LWOP. There was an assassination attempt upon the president of the United States.
Gerald Ford. Yeah.
Gerald Ford. It's absolutely Clarence Ray Allen, one of the last people to be executed in California, was living a life without the possibility of parole sentence in, I believe, San Quentin, yet from his prison cell, he was still able to orchestrate the murder of three people that testified against him, only to be retried and resentenced to death and ultimately executed.
Mark,
sometimes you can't stop the influence of these people, monsters.
It's why you have to kill them, because they're so psychotic. They're incomprehensibly psychotic, and you have to kill them. There's no other choice. And the thing is, we have passed several referendums, the public, even in California, supporting the death penalty, demanding the death penalty, and wanting the whole process speeded up so that people are executed within 10 years after the conviction. Can you hang on for another segment, Mark?
Sure.
Okay, I got a lot I want to discuss. Mark Kloss, his daughter Polly Kloss, I really can't believe we're going through this again, was kidnapped and raped and murdered at the age of 12 in Petaluma, California. And Gavin Newsom signed a bill which has led now to Richard Allen Davis getting a resentencing hearing tomorrow. And this was written by State Senator Ben Allen, another Democrat from Santa Monica. I just don't know what's wrong with people. Why would you vote for a Ben Allen or a Gavin Newsom if they give a break to Richard Allen Davis? Pillows over all the girls' heads at the slumber party? Kidnap, rape, and killing Polly Kloss, dumping her body on the side of the freeway where it lay for 2 months? And you vote for people who want to give this guy a sentencing break? And trust me, life without parole is not life without parole anymore in California. What is wrong with everyone? What kind of weird mental disease, some sickness, some fever has taken over? All right, we'll talk more with Mark Kloss coming up.
You're listening to John Cobalt on demand from KFI AM 640.
We continue with Mark Kloss. Mark Kloss, 30 years ago, 1993, his daughter, 12-year-old Polly Kloss, had a slumber party at her home in Petaluma. And a guy with a knife entered her bedroom, tied up all her friends and Polly, put pillow cases over their head. And he kidnapped Polly, raped her, killed her, threw her body off the side of a freeway. It took 2 months to find Polly. And Richard Allen Davis, who'd been in prison a lot already, but let out, was sentenced to death. But he's not dead because of a bill signed by Gavin Newsom and written by State Senator Ben Allen of Santa Monica. He's going to get a resentencing hearing tomorrow. It's unbelievable. This case triggered the Three Strikes Movement back in the 1990s, which saved a lot of people. Let's get Mark Kloss back on. I can't fathom how many discussions you've had with legislators and activist people who push to let now violent prisoners out of prison. What do you think is wrong with them? What is going on? Because everybody that I talk to in my life would agree that somebody like Richard Allen Davis should be put to death. Perfect example of the reason for the death penalty and never, ever let near freedom. But look what they're doing in the legislature, slowly, incrementally, piece by piece. They're going to let guys like this out soon. It's going to happen. It's already happening.
You know, John, we were ruled by very liberal policies in the mid-1990s or the early 1990s that allowed Richard Allen Davis even to be on the street to begin with. Remember, or maybe you didn't know, but he was diagnosed by a psychiatrist as a sexually sadistic psychopath, I believe in the very late 70s. And his whole criminal history was about sexually motivated crimes against women. He would beat them, he would pull knives on them, he would attempt to rape them, and he was going through a turnstile system of justice that kept regurgitating him back into the system time after time. And that was the environment when Pauly was kidnapped. And that's why the Three Strikes movement took off. There was another crime that inspired Three Strikes. That was the Kimber Reynolds crime. Pauly's is the one that sort of got people's attention, though. And Three Strikes soon became the law of the land. And interestingly or not, there were a lot of laws that were enacted at that time that held criminals accountable for their actions. And within a decade, the crime rate in California, both property crime and violent crime, had been cut by 50%.
Yeah.
And that's because the people that were committing the crimes were behind bars. Then in 2011, Jerry Brown, who was the governor, implemented AB 109, which again regurgitated thousands and thousands of felons out of state prisons and into county prisons and put them under the control of the sheriffs, who then didn't have room in their jails to hire new criminals. And that's when this whole thing started. Then there was Prop 47, then there was Prop 57, then there was the what Newsom did to the death penalty, his moratorium on the death penalty, which was totally against the will of the people and the law of the land. Now we're in a situation where I believe a law has been recently signed that expunges violent criminal histories from employment searches. So, and we're right back where we were in 1993. We're right back to a place where people are very, very concerned about crime. And although the authorities tell us that the crime rates continue to go down, what they don't tell us is how they've skewed the crime rates, how they've used all of these laws to change what constitutes a felony, what constitutes a misdemeanor.
They're not crimes anymore.
Where people can't even call the police anymore because they're overwhelmed, and they take people to jail, and they're released again immediately. There's hardly any reason to call police anymore.
No, their numbers are all fake. The system is entirely rigged and fake because what they did is they declared crimes not to be crimes so that they wouldn't show up in the statistics anymore.
Yep.
Like you walk into a store and steal $950 worth of stuff, that's not a crime anymore. Hasn't been a crime for 10 years.
Yep. And you should see downtown San Francisco now. All of the retailers that have pulled out for exactly that reason. Yet our authorities, those people in charge, say, oh, no, things are much better.
Why?
They're getting better all the time.
Why do you think so much of the public votes for these people? Why?
Because I think that they lie. I think that their secret, I'll tell you what I think their secret agenda is. I think it's threefold right now. Number one, to completely destroy Three Strikes, which I think saved so many lives in California.
It did.
Number two, to empty the prisons. And number three, to once and for all and finally eliminate the death penalty. And why do these people do this? Why are they of this mindset? Maybe because they're in situations where they don't have to face crime themselves. Maybe they're on pedestals or in ivory tower somewhere. I don't know. But what I do know is that if you're a normal person living a normal life, you're looking over your shoulder all the time. You're looking over your shoulder because they're starting to release guys like Richard Allen Davis again because there's no consequences for the crimes that are being committed. And despite the fact that they say crime rates are going down, I would tend to say they're probably spiking.
No, well, there's a lot of categories they're going up. But I don't trust any of their numbers anymore.
And I mean,
we just got a story yesterday that, 70,000 homeless have been arrested over the last 4 years just in L.A. And why is that? Because a lot of these guys were released out of prison and jail early. and they're living in the streets. And what do criminals do? They commit crimes. And everybody was snowed into thinking, oh, these are just poor, desperate, unlucky souls. No, these are the criminals that the legislature and the governor has dumped out for the last 12 years.
Listen, John, they say the cure is rehabilitation, not incarceration. But I would say that there are very few successful rehab programs out there.
That is a completely phony concept.
The majority of these guys are not getting rehabilitated, but I think that there is a cure. I think that if we invest money in at-risk youth and give them opportunities other than a life of crime and show them the way to move forward, then I think we can do a lot to stop crime. And in fact, many of those programs have been happening for decades now. The first time somebody talked about something like that was George Bush's 1,000 Points of Light.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he was right. If we do make those investments and give those kids opportunities, there's a very good chance that they, it statistically is a very good chance that they won't turn to a life of crime.
Mark, I've got to go. I hate to interrupt. I'm way behind. I got to get to the news. And I thank you for coming on.
All right.
We'll talk again. Mark Kloss.
More Than a Movie is back with season two of the award-winning film podcast, and this time with a lot more movies. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind some of my favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the OG spy kid, Alexa Penavega.
You had Carlo Gugino, who's the coolest mom ever. You had Antonio, who's handsome, amazing, charismatic. And then Carmen and Juni. I felt like a lot of other kids felt like this could be me.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Every episode will feature interviews with the biggest actors, directors, writers, and producers behind your favorite films and tap into the history of Latinos in film. Listen to More Than a Movie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're talking tea, we're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Here are some examples of what you'll hear from us on Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
This is where we discuss all things reality TV, all things popular culture.
And a little bit of Rappaport's reality, the reality of us.
We're figuring out. And if we had been recording these last 4 or 5 days, it would have been,
juicy.
The podcast would have taken a left turn. Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Michael Rappaport, and my wife, Kibi Rappaport, starting May 8th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to John Cobalt on demand from KFI AM 640.
We're on the air from 1 until 4. And then after 4 o'clock, John Cobalt Show on demand on the iHeart app. Moist Line. 877-MOIST-86 for tomorrow. Hurry up if you want to get in on it. 877-MOIST-86. We got a little bit of room. You can sneak on there. Or you can use the talkback feature on the iHeart Radio app. Now, I'm going to keep bringing this up until I fall over dead here. Because this is a secret that Steve Gregory stumbled upon this week that nobody else is reporting. And I am checking every day. And I'm going to play you a 30-second clip here. He had a report yesterday, which when I heard it floored me, and we talked about it on the air, and I looked today to see if any more information had come across about it. Anyone else is following up, but you know what our news media is like in Los Angeles. We just had this extensive discussion with Mark Kloss, the father of Polly Kloss, who was murdered 30 years ago, which led to three strikes. And now Richard Allen Davis, thanks to State Senator Ben Allen from Santa Monica and Gavin Newsom, is going to get a resentencing hearing 30 years after viciously, brutally raping and murdering a 12-year-old girl. That's the break he gets, courtesy of Newsom and Allen. I mean, it's really sick. It's enraging. Or maybe it's not. Maybe nobody cares anymore. Ever since that Polly Kloss thing happened, I always wondered, could it happen again? I mean, obviously that kind of murder could happen again, but would the public react the way they reacted 30 years ago? Or is everybody anesthetized now? Have they become so woke and progressive? Or they're just so hypnotized scrolling their screens? I don't know what's going on. It's very strange. And we went through, as we were talking with Mark, the rich history of all the terrible things that Jerry Brown and Gavin Newsom and the Democratic legislature has done to let more and more criminals out of prisons and out of jails. And there is a lot of consequences. And this is one of them here. Now, you've heard the propaganda almost all the time when the media and politicians and activists talk about homelessness. It's to make you feel guilty and compassionate and cough up more money for their criminal nonprofit enterprises or their criminal government agencies. Well, listen to this. It's just 30 seconds. You play cut number three.
And the number one reason for the arrests? Felony warrants, followed by misdemeanor warrants.
And the next is assault with a deadly weapon, followed by arrests for battery. The last category was robbery.
LAPD Commander Giselle Espinoza told a police commission yesterday they've been keeping tabs on crimes committed by the homeless at the direction of city council. Espinoza also noted the average length of detention was 24 hours. And when it came to release,
13,134 individuals experienced a zero bail process.
Steve Gregory, KFI News.
I don't know if the first part got clipped off. Did he get clipped off? Well, let me tell you the first line. 70,000 homeless people in L.A. have been arrested over the last 4 years. 70,000. Which means a lot of these guys were criminals. 70,000. There's supposedly only 45,000 sleeping on the streets in L.A. at any given moment. 70,000 arrested over 4 years. That means every single one of them, on average, has been arrested 1.5 times. And the majority had outstanding felony warrants or misdemeanor warrants, which means they were on the loose after committing previous crimes and never showing up in court for a hearing. So 70,000 criminals, most of them already committing crimes, and then the rest of them arrested for assault with a deadly weapon and battery and robbery. Those were the top five categories. Felony warrant, misdemeanor warrant, assault with a deadly weapon, battery, and robbery. There's your top five. Now, you think you ought to have 45,000 people laying in the streets every day with that kind of an arrest record, those kinds of criminal records? This is the legacy. They let out, I think, about 60,000 prisoners just from the state prison. Then you add up the jails over the years, the county jails. And then all the new criminals who are not arrested. So that's why you have so much theft, so many burglaries, so many assaults. What do you think? Am I crazy? They're trying to dismantle three strikes. Richard Allen Davis, who's one of the worst monsters in California history. He's an Inner Circle Hall of Fame member. If you had Mansum at the top of the pyramid, Richard Allen Davis would be pretty high up there. That's how heinous his murder of Polly Kloss is. Plus, he had a previous horrible record before that. Oh, what was the phrase? I wrote it down. Back in the 1970s, Mark Kloss said that Richard Allen Davis was identified as a sexually sadistic psychopath. A sexually sadistic psychopath. Wouldn't you love to go up to Gavin Newsom's smug, arrogant face and say, "Hey, little Gavin, tell me again why a sexually sadistic psychopath who kidnapped, raped, and murdered a 12-year-old girl on her slumber party night, why should they get a break in prison and not be executed? Tell me again." Same thing for Ben Allen from Santa Monica. I'm sure some of you on the West Side voted for Ben Allen of Santa Monica. Why'd you do that? Don't tell me you were ignorant and you didn't know that he was trying to give a break to a sexually sadistic psychopath. Maybe you should ask him about it. Maybe you should call up Ben Allen's office and say, "What is it with you and sexually sadistic psychopaths? Why do those people deserve a break? Why did you create that law? What was going through your mind? I don't know. I think these people should be called every day on this. Every single day. I think it should be like what the Palestinian protesters are doing to politicians. You know? Just every day, people should be in their face about what's going on here. Richard Allen Davis? Seriously? But a lot of people aren't going to feel it because it happened too long ago. But the pain is still deep with Mark Klotz. It is still bitter and still deep for him and his family. And there is no shame. A Gavin Newsom or a Ben Allen, they're their own version of psychopath because they have no shame. They have no empathy at all, no compassion at all for the victims' families. And they could pass their arrogant, silly little progressive legislative obsessions, criminal justice reform. They have all these really impressive names, criminal justice reform. It's garbage. This is psycho. But hey, keep voting for him. You people on the West Side, Ben Allen, he's a prize. You should be very proud. Just don't come calling here when your daughter gets kidnapped and out of her bedroom. Because you're creating a climate where that makes it more likely to happen. What do you think's going to happen? You think there's going to be less of it? More coming up.
You're listening to John Cobalt on demand from KFI AM 640.
There's a funny video that we've just retweeted on the John Cobalt Show account. It just happened in Sacramento. It's a short, 30-second video. Thief shows up at a house where there's a package at the doorstep. And the thief pulled a garbage bag, like a big 30-gallon trash bag, over his head and crouched down and shuffled up wearing the bag. Then he reaches, steals the package, turns around, and he shuffles off. Still wearing the bag over his head, so even though there's a Ring camera, you can't identify him. It's really funny. So you can go on our Twitter account there and watch it.
People are so unique in their ways of being crooks.
I know.
I laughed so hard when I saw that.
It is funny.
And that's a big person in that bag.
Now you're rooting for a thief.
No,
I was rooting for thieves before you were rooting for thieves. No.
This one, I thought it was funny and creative, but I was pissed because I hate those porch pirates. Like, how dare you go to somebody's porch and steal their stuff? Even if you're wearing a big old trash bag over your head.
I got something else funny here. We talked about Tiffany Henyard, the mayor of Dalton, Illinois. It's a small town, 24,000 people. It's all black citizens there, and she's their mayor. And they are so angry with her. She's the one who spent a lot of money on her outfits and her hair. Remember, we talked about that? Mm-hmm. Well, now the town has caught on to what she does. She has a suspicious charity called the Tiffany Henyard Cares Foundation, which is supposed to help cancer patients. And the Illinois Attorney General is investigating because the financial reports are a little suspicious. Anyway, she tried to keep the public out of the city meetings by hiring a security service with new security checks, but a lot of people got in anyway. And we're going to play you this TV report by Fox 32 in Chicago, Nate Rogers. And it got really heated.
This Board of Trustees meeting ended early tonight with four trustees actually walking out abruptly. The village clerk left early as well. First, I want to paint a picture of what all we were able to experience. It was very chaotic, and to be quite honest with you, frankly honest with you, it was even scary at times for those of us that were inside of the meeting. There were folks banging on the windows and doors of the village hall. I'm about 100 residents showed up at the meeting tonight, but only 42 residents were allowed inside. They had to walk through metal detectors, and they were wanded down. Before I take you inside of the meeting, I want you to listen to what happened outside first.
Let us in!
But at least the majority of the people in Dalton should be able to think like the mayor does. She's scary. She's absolutely scary.
Why can't we get in our public building to have meetings? Why are meetings being canceled? Why can't we have transparency? What's going on with our tax dollars?
Several residents calling on Dalton Mayor and Thornton Township Supervisor Tiffany Hinyard to resign. She's been criticized for mismanaging village funds and dividing the Board of Trustees. The meeting comes amid a sexual harassment and retaliation complaint against Hinyard. A former employee says she was sexually assaulted during a work trip in Las Vegas last year. The complaint says the employee was disoriented and unsure how she woke up inside a village trustee's hotel room. When she spoke up about the claims, she was retaliated against, she says, and later fired. The FBI is now looking into village practices.
You know what happened in Vegas. You know what happened. And you will not, you should be addressing it, saying something to the residents about it.
I have cancer. Of course I do. Tiffany stole money from a cancer foundation. How dare you? How dare you steal? And I helped you with your campaign. How dare you steal from us? I had to buy my wigs. Are you going to reimburse me for the wigs that I've been spending my money on?
And they say that you're the worst mayor in America. I agree.
Now, no one is in custody and no charges have been filed following that former employee's complaint. Also, the trustee accused was absent from tonight's meeting. Residents said we should. Residents said that trustee should resign as well. Residents also wore blue ribbons in support of victims of sexual abuse. Now, back out here live, just a little bit more on background. We've learned that this was the first time that metal detectors were used. The acting police chief saying that they received credible threats even today about this meeting, and that's why folks were taken through metal detectors and wound down. Again, four out of their six trustees did leave the meeting early. Mayor Tiffany Hinyard did criticize those board of trustees for leaving, saying that she really wanted to accomplish some of the business of the village, and as a result, she was unable to do so.
They think she's misappropriated a lot of money.
Wow.
And gone to Las Vegas and spent it on herself. One woman said, so let's tell the truth, which I know you're incapable of. She's saying this to Hinyard. I wouldn't trust this woman if she stood on a stack of Bibles and had her tongue notarized. Not a damn thing she says that comes out of her mouth is true.
From a cancer charity?
Yes. Yeah. She creates a cancer charity and then loots money. There's a lot of this going on. There really is. One woman said, stop blowing smoke up the residents' behinds. I would have paid money to.
That would have been a very interesting scene to be at.
All right. We come back. Michael Munks is going to come on about Karen Bass and Katie Orislovsky suddenly discovering that huge trash dump on the front lawn of a house in the Fairfax district, 5 feet deep, the trash, actually higher than that because they found a Toyota Celica underneath, and it's just one crazy guy who has thrown his trash out there for at least 10 years. The city never did anything about it. And Karen Bass goes, oh, I can't believe this. This is an outrage. Hey, you've been listening to the John Cobalt Show podcast. You can always hear the show live on KFI AM 640 from 1 to 4 p.m. every Monday through Friday. And, of course, anytime on demand on the iHeartRadio app.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today. Listen to Rappaport's Reality starting May 8th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.